This is Rosen Institute's Your Law Firm, where Lee Rosen and Ned Days cover management, marketing, finance, and new technologies for building the practice you deserve. Here's Lee Rosen.
It's good to be with you today from Dubai, where we're hanging out and regrouping and stocking up and seeing our doctors and dentists. Dubai, kind of like for us, Raleigh and Bangkok and Edinburgh and Istanbul, they're the kind of places where we feel pretty much at home at this stage of our lives. We get things done more than we do tourist things. We know where to go and how to get there and how to make things happen. These places are comfortable and relaxing, but they're also places where we can just be efficient and effective. When we leave here, it'll be with shiny new shoes and a bag full of essentials like toothpaste and sunblock. It's a place for us where we can get things done.
It's time for your tech tip. I like to stick up for the little guy, the neglected unsung hero, and I feel that with AI threatening to displace a large number of workers in nearly every field of employment, I should be ringing the alarm bell and championing the rights and inherent value of my fellow flesh-based employees. Then I remember that time our intern couldn't figure out how to use the BCC field properly and ended up sharing every one of our current client's email addresses with every other current client, and then I say, bring on the robots. To be fair, everyone has probably hit reply all by accident at least once, and our inboxes can be pretty chaotic. Email chews up a lot of time and energy in a law practice. Some people become absolute machines and toss aside everything else of importance in their lives to achieve inbox zero. Others just admit defeat and ignore lots of very important messages. Now, there have been options for helping triage emails for years. One of my favorites, an oldie but a goodie, is SaneBox.com. You connect it to just about any email service, and it provides all kinds of functionality for things like snoozing emails, getting reminded about emails at a specific point in the future, categorizing them, getting a digest of low priority messages, and a lot more. In the past few years, a lot of email services and email apps have adopted some of these features that used to be more exclusive. Basic snoozing and inbox filtering are pretty common now, but SaneBox is still worth a look if your personal inbox is overwhelming you. But a lot of practices are well beyond a single inbox. There are multiple people on staff who need to be able to check the same inboxes or each other's inboxes or general inboxes, sometimes collaborating on communicating back and forth with clients and prospective clients. MissiveApp.com and Front.com are two of the heavy hitters in this arena of shared inbox management, allowing multiple users to manage multiple inboxes, escalate messages up the chain, pull in context from CRMs and phone software, and just generally make handling all these accounts a lot easier. The end user just gets to communicate with you via email, but you get the tools of a fully fledged help desk solution to let your team manage them in a way that works best for you. And of course, AI is now making these tools even more efficient. Emailtree.ai attempts to solve the same problem Missive and Front do, but it's leveraging all the niceties we have come to expect from large language model chatbots. You can import FAQs and things like blog posts or internal knowledge base articles to be used as training data for AI-generated replies. You create custom rules to classify incoming emails based on things like address, the contents, the attachments, and more, and EmailTree will begin to automatically suggest replies and even give you a confidence level for how well it understands the original email. Now, it won't just email back automatically, but at its quickest, you can respond to emails with a button press. You or somebody on your team just approves an automated draft and you are done. This is one of those tools that is well worth experimenting with because I think this is going to be the future of email triage, and we'll start to see these kinds of features incorporated into tools like Missive and Front and even our normal business inboxes in the near future. Missive has recently added OpenAI integration to help users draft responses based on the emails in the thread so far, which is nice, but the future we all want is the ability to simply let AI respond to all of our emails for us so we never have to interact with another human ever again, client or otherwise. EmailTree is a little bit closer to that goal, but it wouldn't surprise me if very soon we are able to integrate client records, call logs, and any other data at our disposal into these inbox management tools so that email triaging is handled almost entirely automatically, if, of course, we want that. At the very least, being able to route every incoming message to the right person with the right context and a complete suggested reply will be a big help for a lot of practices. And it raises some interesting questions because you can go use EmailTree today, but there is nothing stopping a firm from building something like this or better than this or more tailored to their setup right now. A few hours of developer time and an OpenAI account could result in an app that forwarded all incoming messages to OpenAI for classification and did sentiment analysis so that they could be ranked on how urgent they were. The name and address could be used to search through Clio for additional information about the client and draft a suggested response. It's obviously nice to be able to pick up something off the shelf, but if you have the capacity and the need, these are the kinds of experiments that can pay off exponentially in saved time. What other highly time-intensive processes are taking up huge amounts of bandwidth in our practices that we should be looking for solutions to with this technology? On a long enough timeline, someone will make an app for it, whatever it happens to be. But what are the pain points we can be fixing right now before the competition does? I'm Ned Days, and that's your tech tip.
And now for your moment of concise advice. As you likely know, I'm not a big believer in the idea of adding partners to law firms. I prefer a model with a single owner surrounded by a bunch of employees. At the root of that preference are my ideas about scaling a business, about growing the business based on systems and efficiencies and economies of scale. Now, there's lots of advice out there for businesses looking to scale up when they have achieved product market fit. They get going. They have a product that the market wants. Sales take off, and they want to go, go, go. And I respect that. I admire that. Product businesses, they scale if the product is a good one. If customers like buying what you're selling, well, then that product business is going to grow. The company can figure out ways to produce more product, and as the business grows, so does the bottom line. Mass production and distribution systems, that's what makes it happen. But service businesses like law firms, well, they're a different animal. They inherently face scalability challenges. The crux of the issue lies in the nature of the services provided. Service businesses are highly personalized. They're reliant on professional expertise. Their quality is closely tied to the individuals delivering the services. Scaling up in a service business, it's a much bigger challenge. And when a law firm attempts to scale, the immediate hurdle that it bumps into is the need to maintain the quality and to maintain the consistency of its services. Unlike manufacturing a product, legal services, they can't simply be replicated. They require skilled lawyers to spend time and apply their expertise to each case or to each client. And growth, it requires additional quality controls and management. When you grow, margins are often reduced. There's only so much that you can do to make that process more efficient, and we hit a wall pretty early as we scale. So as a firm grows, it naturally incurs additional overhead costs, more office space, more support staff, more management, and more resources are needed. And beyond all of that, the traditional law firm business model is built around billable hours. Whether that's good or not, I'm not going to get into, but that's how it's done, and that inherently limits scalability. There's a ceiling of how many hours a lawyer can work, and there's therefore a limit in how much revenue each lawyer can generate. In this model, growing revenue typically means adding more lawyers, but as you add more lawyers and potentially more partners who share in the firm's profits, well, the firm's expenses grow, and the profit per partner can plateau or, in many instances, decrease. When a law firm decides to expand by including more partners, especially those sharing in the profits, it essentially becomes a larger aggregation of smaller firms under one roof, under one umbrella. Each partner typically brings in and manages their own client base. And while there may be some cross-selling and some shared resources, each partner's practice can be quite distinct and siloed. This sort of structure, it can make cohesive growth of the firm challenging, and it can dilute the overall profit per partner. And in this collection of small firms, you develop problems that develop in any larger or big organization. As you grow the number of leaders and owners, well, you grow the number of different perspectives and ideas and approaches to running the law firm. And the bureaucracy grows as the complexity increases. And unfortunately, you don't gain the economies of scale that a product business gains as it grows. The growing law firm too often has more problems and quite often lower per capita profits. Bigger is not always better, and that's especially true in a professional services firm. Now, all of that being said, I'm not saying that you can't make more money as you grow. In fact, you will make more money if you control the ownership structure. That's the key. Growing from 5 lawyers to 50 lawyers, moving from $2 million in revenues to $20 million, you'll grow your profits, but only if you control the number of folks who are sharing those profits. When the firm goes from one partner to 10 and you're growing those revenues right along with it, well, paying those 9 new partners some percentage of the profits, well, that's not really going to help unless you're very careful here. What you're doing is you're taking that one owner business and adding 9 more businesses right next door. You're bigger, but you aren't necessarily earning anymore. But if you keep tight control over those profits, well, then you may not be 10 times more profitable, but you'll see more cash left over in your bank account each month. But be very cognizant here of the impact of adding all those partners. So what I advocate for here is limiting the firm to a single owner or a very, very small group of owners. That sort of approach will maximize the income for the owners. That will give them more flexibility, more control, more ability to adapt, and ultimately, in most situations, more satisfaction with the work. I could go on and on with more reasons here why I think that limiting the ownership to that single owner or to that very, very small group makes a lot of sense. When you maintain a lean operation, when you limit the ownership, the firm can focus on what matters. The firm can focus on high quality services guaranteeing client satisfaction. That allows the firm to command higher fees and to maintain tight control over the expenses. When you have a single owner, when you have tight control, the profit margins are maximized. The firm can remain very responsive to market changes. When you have a single owner leading the firm's core values and mission and purpose, they all come from one place. The vision is clear. The team moves forward together in alignment. Now, all of that is not to say that there won't be better business models coming along, technology, especially artificial intelligence. They open the door to the possibilities of law firms scaling more effectively. We may see better options for online legal services, for automating more standard processes. There are likely to be developments as technology evolves to make scaling a law firm more effective, to maintain those margins. But in the meantime, I encourage you to keep that ownership tight, to stay in control, to minimize the sharing of those profits. That's your moment of concise advice. Wrapping up from Dubai, thanks for spending a few minutes with me and Ned today. We hope you have a great weekend and an even better week next week. Keep plugging away, moving forward, getting things done. You're on the right track. You'll get there, I promise. We're all in this together, and together we build better practices through better marketing, better management, and better technology. Until next time, I'm Lee Rosen.
Thanks for listening to Your Law Firm. Visit rosensrules.com for our free course on the 10 critical rules successful law firms follow.